Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few years ago now, back in the before times, there was an 11-year-old boy named Ciro Ortiz who turned a subway platform in Brooklyn into a therapy office. His office was open on Sunday afternoons from noon until 2 p.m. He would go down into the Bedford station on the L line and set up a little folding table and two chairs right on the platform between the train tracks. He would put up a sign that said clearly what he was offering and how much he was offering it for. The sign said, "Emotional advice, $2. And then he would wait to see who sat down to talk. And people came to talk with him. There was the woman who was stressed out during the holidays because she couldn't figure out what gifts to buy for each of her family members. There was the couple who needed marital counseling because the husband was very upset. His wife had recently become a vegan. But Ciro said the most common problem he saw was adults who had trouble facing change. His advice? We have to accept change. It's always going to happen. Life is always changing. I think we can give Ciro $2 for that wisdom. Ciro first decided to open up his therapy office because he says he saw a need. He saw lots of people who were sad or angry or lonely. Lots of people who seemed to need to talk. And he didn't see any therapists who were willing to meet those people where they were, right on the subway platform. So Ciro took his big heart, his entrepreneurial spirit, and his wise beyond his years advice, and began to do what no one else was doing. And at $2 a pop, he would make about $50 a day. That's not bad. But here's the thing. Ciro didn't actually want the money for himself. He would take the money he earned down in the subway and use it to buy food for students in his school. He took the money he earned helping people and used it to help other people. He did what he could to make the world a better place. Now, over the past 6 weeks, we have been exploring the theme of believing is seeing. As Christians, we are Easter people. We are people who are profoundly shaped by the good news of new life that we find in the risen Christ. But the tricky thing about this good news is that Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, and not a single one of us was there to peer into the empty tomb ourselves. Yet here we are, 2,000 years later, proclaiming that the good news of the resurrection is true and that it changes everything about how we see the world. We were reminded that so often the world tells us that seeing is believing. But as people of faith, we are called to believe first. To believe in the light and love of God, even when we can't see God directly. We are called to believe in the goodness and grace of Jesus, even 2,000 years after Jesus walked this earth. We are called to believe in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, even when we're not exactly sure how the Holy Spirit is going to show up in our lives. The world tells us that seeing is believing, but our faith tells us to believe first, that believing is seeing, that when we believe, we will see God showing up everywhere. Now, when we meet up with Jesus and the disciples in today's scripture reading, Jesus knows how important it is for the disciples to believe in him even when they can't see him, because he's getting ready to leave them. Jesus had 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, and he spent those 40 days trying to help the disciples understand that he really had risen from the dead. He met them on the road to Emmaus and appeared to them in Jerusalem. He broke bread with them and ate fish with them. He invited them to touch his body and to trust his words. Jesus wanted the disciples to believe the good news of the empty tomb. He wanted them to believe in the truth of the resurrection. So as his ascension approaches, he takes one last opportunity to remind them that he really is the Messiah. He really is the risen Christ. But it's interesting that in those last moments, Jesus does not keep the focus only on himself. He also takes one last opportunity to remind the disciples of who they are, that they will be his witnesses, that eventually they will be his church. And before he leaves them, he blesses them. He blesses this group of people who have struggled to believe in him even when they have had the benefit of seeing him with their own eyes. Just think of all of the stories of the disciples we have heard over the past 6 weeks. The disciples have been far from perfect. But Jesus blesses them anyway. He blesses them with their doubts and their sadness. He blesses them in their confusion and their fear and their loneliness. He blesses them in their beauty and in their brokenness. He blesses them because he knows that the Holy Spirit will be able to use all of who they are to bring the church to life. He blesses them because he needs them. He needs them to proclaim the good news, to make God's love real in the world. He needs them to live their lives as if Easter changes everything. And so it is that as Jesus' earthly ministry comes to a close, the work of the church comes to life. And here we are, 2,000 years later, with all of our beauty and all of our brokenness. Here we are, a whole new crew of imperfect disciples being called to proclaim the good news in the world today. Even with our doubts and with our sadness, even in the midst of our confusion and our fear and our loneliness, Jesus is calling us to tell others that Easter still changes everything. Jesus is calling us to make God's love real in the world. Now, that doesn't mean you need to head to the Braintree tea station and set up a therapy office. That was the work God called Ciro Ortiz to do in the world. God has other work that only you can do. Work that will allow you to use your heart and your hands, your spirit and your skills, your presence and your passions to make this world a better place. And when it feels like there is nothing we can do because the world is broken beyond repair, remember that God is not calling us to save the whole world. Jesus already did that for us. But God is calling us to do what we can to take care of our little corner of the world. God is calling us to live as if Easter really does matter, to bear witness to the good news that life really is more powerful than death, that love really is more powerful than hate, that hope really is more powerful than despair, and that passion really is more powerful than apathy. In our homes, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our towns, God is calling us to do the work that only we can do to make this world a better place. And there is work that we as a church are being called to do too. That's part of what we are going to explore together after worship today. We are going to start dreaming and discerning together how God is calling us to use the grant money that we received from Spectrum Health to make this world a better place. When we gather for roundtable conversations, we trust that the Spirit is powerfully present in our midst when we are gathered in community, and we talk about the needs that we see in our church and in the world around us. We brainstorm ways that we might be able to meet those needs with our particular gifts, and then we see, what are the projects? What are the issues that are generating interest and passion within our church? We trust that those are the things the Spirit really wants us to do, that those are the ways God is calling us to be church. And all of us get to be part of that process together. You can help us figure out the work that only we can do to make this world a better place. So friends, let us remember that we are Easter people. We are people who are profoundly shaped by the good news of new life that we find in the risen Christ. Just as Jesus blessed the first disciples, Jesus is blessing us today. Blessing us with all of our beauty and all of our brokenness. Because he needs us. He needs us to proclaim the good news. He needs us to make God's love real in the world. He needs us to live as if Easter changes everything. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn, you will actually find on the back of your bulletin. The words are printed right there for you. You will hear that it is a familiar tune once the organ starts playing. And if you are worshiping with us from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing right along with us our closing hymn, O Christ, when you ascended.